All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for the fearless Dave Dubow. And if you've ever wondered how a young investor conquers the challenges of raising capital and turns low-priced properties into high-yield investments, today on the show, I have Ryan Dolliver on the show sharing his secrets on success in real estate. Ryan, welcome to the show. Thrilled to have you here.
Thank you very much, Bryce.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit before the show about attracting capital and how it's not about finding it, but rather attracting it. What do you do? Well, let's reverse a little bit. We'll touch on that in a minute, but how did you get started in real estate? People are always curious.
I've always been interested in investing. I find the idea of money working for you rather than you working for money to be fascinating. So specifically with real estate, I was chatting with one of my investor friends, Daniel, and he knew a guy named Mark Fence who invested in real estate, and he connected me with him, and kind of Mark then kind of took me under his wing and coached me and showed me all about different types of real estate and how the investing works and how to analyze deals. And then from there, Mark introduced me to a group called Wealth Genius. And yeah, they're like a educational platform. And ever since then, it's kind of exploded.
So define exploded. How many properties, what type of portfolio are you carrying these days?
Yeah, so I've just got the one property. It's a six unit property in Saskatchewan. It's in a town called Melville.
Okay.
It's a great property. It's really solid. I got it for a really good deal. And I think like what I meant by exploded is like my knowledge of the opportunities that are out there has exploded. Like I feel like I can see the opportunities way better than I could before now.
Yeah, analyzing them, and you know, as we touched on, raising capital a little bit before the show, having capital in mind when you're looking at deals really helps to feel secure. Like I could take this down if I so choose to. So, why Saskatchewan? What intrigued you about that particular property? How did you end up investing there?
Yeah, so what intrigued me about that property initially was a lower purchase price. So it's six units, and I bought it for $162,000.
Oh wow, good for you!
Yeah, so that was mind blowing for me. Now, you know, those are kind of numbers where everyday people can enter the real estate market.
Yeah. So did you pull a mortgage on it? How'd you finance that thing?
Yes. So financing was challenging. There was a lot of, because the building is kind of older and a lot of the lenders weren't super interested in that. But I was actually able to secure a mortgage with RBC. I gained a really good relationship with the mortgage specialist there. And, you know, I didn't have like, I don't have a big fancy truck or anything or any big loans. So they kind of looked at, I have a good job and not that many toys. So they were willing to finance me.
Nice, nice. So how many years ago was that, or when did you purchase that thing?
Yeah, I purchased that back in April of this year.
And what type of, being that it is in a smaller market, what type of cash flow or what type of rents are you seeing on those units?
Yeah, so I'm seeing an average of about $700 in rent. If you do the math, I get it for around $27,000 a unit. So, you know, you do way better than the 1% mark. We're almost at the 2%, or we're past the 2% mark here. So it's
doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's a cash flowing asset for sure.
Yeah. So is that part of your strategy moving forward to continue to find these like smaller markets? Are you going to continue to invest in that market itself, or what's the plan there?
Yes. So I do plan on partnering up with another investor. There's a another building in Melville that he wants a little bit of help managing, and I've got the time to help him manage, so we're gonna do that. I do really think there's a lot of hidden gems in these secondary and tertiary markets in terms of cash flow.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
people are finding really great multifamilies outside of the big markets, than the primary markets. And it can be a little bit scary investing at arm's reach. How do you manage the distance and the disconnection between where you are and where the property is?
Yes. So for me personally, I have an on-site caretaker. He helps with a lot of stuff. All the doorknobs and the light bulbs that need to be changed. Like it's a long ways for me to go out there. It's about an 8-hour drive from where I live, so it's a serious distance, right? So he's my guy when it comes to all the things that you need an on-site person for.
Yeah, well, definitely that's a great pro tip is, if you're at arm's length, you might as well have someone living in the building. So do you give them a discount? A lot of people get a discounted rent for the guy, and how does that work? How do you manage with him?
Yeah, so he actually doesn't live in the building, but he lives in a house that's about 2 minutes down the road. So might as well. And I pay him a property management fee, 10% of gross rent, and yeah, we kind of do it like that.
So what's the, a lot of times when we're looking at these secondary markets, what's the economic driving force that people are using to pay the rent out there? Because that's always a big thing. It's like, okay, let's say we found a multi-unit. Where do they work? How do they bring the money to the table?
Right. So in this town specifically in Melville, there's a pretty big rail hub, especially like a train hub that is pretty significant for the size of the town. Like there's always trains going through there. They're always carrying freight that's headed across Saskatchewan or to Alberta. So I definitely think that helps with the economy here.
Yeah, and so before you invested in that market, what sort of like due diligence went into investing in this secondary or tertiary market like this?
So, for me personally, I think what scares a lot of people is the vacancy, right, in these secondary markets. So I like to post some ghost ads on Facebook to kind of see like, okay, if I set the rent at this and kind of these terms of the lease, how many people are interested? And I kind of gauge it based off of how many people message me, not necessarily click on the ad, but send me a message. Is this available? And for this property, when I did it, I got about like 30 messages in a couple days.
Wow. So it's a very competitive rental space. It's probably people that are working, in or around that industry, because that's probably one of the biggest concerns I always have when I'm looking at smaller markets is like, how are they going to pay the rent? So, that's a great pro tip again. Send us put up some ads before you decide to acquire the thing and see what kind of action you get to see. Because I do know some like investors that are in secondary and third markets where they'll take a rent because they have to. They'll take a tenant because they have to. Hard to fill a
Right.
unit, right? And so that's a great idea. So, as far as real estate's concerned, Robert Kiyosaki calls this kind of your unfair advantage. What comes easily to you that other people might find difficult to do?
Always come I think because of my age, I'm able to like I work consistently. I work an 8 and 6 shift, and I pretty much after my 8 days are done, I switch into real estate and start working on that job. And I think when you're younger, you can sleep less and work more, and it totally, that's probably my unfair advantage.
The youth, the unicorn blood, as they say.
That's
So,
right.
the other thing that I find really interesting, and this story gets told over and over again, is that you're in the split shift where you're like, what, six on, six off, or something like that?
Yeah, 8 days on, 6 days off.
Yeah, so that gives you that runway to really dive in because the 9 to 5er is constantly switching gears. It's like first gear, second gear, first gear, second gear, all week long. And you're like,
Right.
you can really ramp into your work that is the main income driver for your own self. And then you can switch and really ramp into real estate over those next 6 days. So, people that are thinking about getting into real estate and maybe they're between jobs, find a 8-6, find a one of the guys in town here, he was like on a 4-4, and that allowed him to really blow up his real estate relatively quickly, where he's able to actually leave his job. He kept it for the pat leave as he just had a kid, but then eventually said, you know what, that's enough. I don't need this anymore. But that extra time really did give him the advantage to really dive into real estate in between businesses. So,
Absolutely.
With all that you've kind of accomplished in the real estate so far, what would you say your biggest obstacle is now?
My biggest obstacle now? That's a good question. I would say my biggest obstacle, I'd say just maybe because of the timing. I know in like I specifically look in the Saskatchewan and Alberta markets the most, and right now, it's definitely a buyer's market. There's lots of properties for sale compared to in 2020, 2021. And the challenge is finding all the money to fund all these deals because there's more good deals right now than there is capital to fund them.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was going to lead to my next question is like, what are you doing right now to actually fund or raise the capital for these deals?
Yes, so mostly I'm doing partnerships. I find you can do way more with partnerships, and when you start working with other people, you can really multiply the amount of deals you can do. There's a couple guys that I've gotten pretty close with in this group, Wealth Genius, and I think a big way that I attracted some of these partners was posting on Facebook pretty frequently about what I'm doing in real estate. I love going on walkthroughs and checking out buildings and then posting on Facebook, and people are like, wow, that's really cool, Ryan. We should chat about it or have a Zoom call. And then we chat about it and talk about possibilities and where we could help each other. And I think that's probably the main way that I'm going to be able to fund most of these deals.
Yeah, it's like really getting that exposure to the work you're already doing. There's a lot to be said about, if the tree falls in the forest and did you post a reel about it? Because otherwise you didn't chop it down, So
That's right.
I like your approach because it is top of mind. People are watching. People don't I think it's probably one of the most underestimated kind of lead sources is just broadcasting what you're doing already. So what have you found to be the most effective way to keep in touch with the investors that you already, the prospects for people and partners?
Most effective way to keep in touch, I guess very simply, it's Facebook Messenger. I'm very like I said, I work pretty much consistently, so when you get a message from a potential investor, I answer it right away. I'm when they ask to have a meeting, I prioritize it. I switch my schedule around, and I really try to put 110% into my business and my business partners. And I find if you do that, they'll reciprocate with 110% as well.
Interesting. So, when it comes to like deal finding, are you a find the deal and then get the money person, or do you prefer to have the capital lined up and then go looking for deals?
I would say a little bit of both, but probably more go and find the deals. I'm very boots on the ground. I'm always driving around Alberta and Saskatchewan, checking out properties. Like I said, Melville is 8 hours away, so I pretty much drive all the way through Saskatchewan every time I go there. So I usually stop somewheres and walk a property and post about it, and then kind of attract the investors that way.
Nice, nice. So once you've attracted them to your position, walk us through how you present, deals to a possible investor. How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, so I probably, like, if it's a brand new investor and I don't know them as much, I'd probably start with a discovery call, get to know them a little bit, find out kind of what type of investment they're looking for. Do they only invest in major markets? Do they invest in secondary markets? Do they want fourplex? Do they want 10plex or more? And then usually, once I get an idea for that, I'll make up an investor package, usually on Canva, and it kind of outlines like the numbers, where it's at, kind of me and my investing experience, and then I would present it to them, especially if they're interested, or ask them, maybe during a later call if they'd like to check out one of these deals, and yeah, probably go from there.
You sound like you may have done this a few times. Where do you have your background? Because there's lots of different ways to learn it. Some people are the YouTube University. Where did you get your backing in, for instance, putting your presentation together? And you're using words like discovery calls. So this guy, if you're listening at home, sounds like he might have done this once or twice. Where's the background coming from?
I would say the background's coming from Wealth Genius. This educational platform is second to none. Like my coach, we meet every 2 weeks. There's a module every 2 weeks that talks about we've gone over every aspect of real estate. He like the wealth of knowledge I've accumulated from this program has been amazing. Absolutely.
So we touched on the whole social media aspect. How do you use social media and these like walkthroughs and things like that to kind of build that like no trust so that people can actually message you? Because sometimes people are just posting to post. Is there any particular strategy that you're employing with your videos and your social media that you're finding to be most effective?
I'd say the most effective way to post is personalized videos. People like the front camera. Maybe I'm walking through a building and I'm kind of showing it as I do it, and people want to see who's taking the video. They want to see the person in front of the camera. That's kind of gives them that familiar feeling. And then it's like, okay, this guy's not a stranger anymore. He's Ryan.
Yeah, because I do notice a lot of times people will post on Instagram or something like that where it's like them walking the property and they're not even in it, and it's like, okay, that's cool, but like where's the guy, where's the girl, where's the person that's like actually doing this thing? Because it's like the any realtor, or even when a realtor posts something and they're not in it, I'm thinking, okay, did they send their photographer down there? Is this just a canned video? Like, where what's going on here? So that's a great tip for those people that are thinking about posting, what they're doing out there. It's like, if you're going to post what you're doing, maybe you should consider being in the shot.
Absolutely.
Do you worry about your hair and how you're looking or anything like that when you're doing those videos? Or how do you kind of get over that mindset of like, oh, I don't look good enough for the camera?
I guess well to experience helps, but knowing that authenticity is the most powerful part of your video. Like people want to see you. They want to see something authentic. They don't want a copy. If they see that uniqueness, I find it really intrigues them.
Yeah, definitely. And do you spend any time when you're doing those videos focused on the message? Do you think about what you're going to say before you get in there, or do you just, or maybe early on, maybe you did and now it's more natural? Like, how do you go about the presentation with your videos? Because I think people want to get into that, but they're a little bit afraid of like the main hurdles, like, oh, what am I going to say? So like, how do you overcome that challenge?
I think at first I was a little nervous, but I think it comes more naturally now. Like, especially like for the example of walking through a building, I pretty much just take myself on a tour and explain kind of what's around and what I like and what I think is nice and like, you know, ooh, this finish looks really nice, or oh,
Bump
I
the
don't know
deal
if I like,
tires, yeah. Bump
yeah.
the deal up and also show like, because I think it's really important that, you know, that when someone's wanting to invest with you, they're watching the video that, you're kind of showing how you evaluate deals. That's one thing that I always do when I'm walking a property. I say, you know, these are the things I'm looking at. These are why they're important, and you know, people really
Right.
resonate with that. So do you focus more on like the numbers or on the deal when you're doing your walks?
Yeah, so when I'm doing my walkthroughs, I look for areas of value the most, like and you know, the cosmetic stuff is nice, but I definitely focus on things like structural and foundations and electrical, plumbing, the big ticket items first. And then I kind of look at the other things because that's what is really valuable in those deals is the roof over someone's head.
The bricks and sticks of it, not like necessarily what type of flooring is in there, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, this is going to be an easy one for you to answer. If people want to, you know, connect with you, they want to watch your videos, they want to find out more about you, how do they, you know, how do they find you and what should they do?
They should find me on Facebook. My name is Ryan Dolliver, so RyanDolliver, and they can also find me on Instagram at Ryan's Real Estate and Investments. Yeah, and those are my main two platforms.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I'm sure after that that kind of master class in social media for some of us older guys like me, I think that'll be you know, definitely some great advice and some great perspective on secondary and third markets, Ryan. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bryce.
All right, guys, and until next time, we'll catch you on the next episode.